I'm Mari Dangerfield, and you're listening to Sound of Stylus, a podcast all about the stylophone and the people who do cool things with it. This is part two of an episode featuring Fluff Tadpole from Punk SG. Please note that this episode features discussion of mental health.
So, you've shared so much detail already about your video making process, a little bit about what you're doing in terms of the recording process as well, so that's great. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about any particular preferences you have when it comes to making music with the stylophones, anything that makes your life easier, any gear or anything at all in terms of process?
Yeah, I can. At mine and Matt's, part of the reason that I love the iPad so much is its portability. So when we started recording, when we started this project, I said to Matt, that's where I make my music, and it's the easiest thing for me to carry from one place to another. So basically, in my little studio here, I have a mixing desk and my I.O. For my iPad. And I generally record, I record all the music myself. And then if there's a line that Matt is going to play, I'll write that out for him and give it to him. So when I'm at home recording a bit of music, I always use my iPad. Generally, I actually DI whichever stylophone I'm recording at the time. Often I don't go through the mixer because there's not a lot of point when you've got your I.O. right in front of you and you can plug your 350 in and then in a flash plug your Gen X in or whatever. And then basically when we started it, I kind of already was set up musically. And when we started Punk SG, Matt has now mirrored basically what I've got here over at his house. So we have another I.O., a better I.O. actually at his house now. And he's got the mixing desk with all the stylophones there plugged in already. So when we've... So usually I'm not actually trying to record anything other than one stylophone at a time. The way I do it is... Obviously, if it's my own tune, I generally still will write them on in GarageBand first because it's such a great note-taking bit of equipment. But to be able to go in there and just go, let's grab a Hammond organ sound up and play some chords or whatever, is brilliant. And so I'll generally write out or record all my music in GarageBand first, and then I have to go back into each track and often write down then each note that I'm going to play. So often, I'll have, if I'm playing a seventh chords or any chords with extensions, then for every, that would then be four stylophones I'd need to record. So, if I want some organ backing, that'll be three or four stylophones. I'll record it first using the chords, using GarageBand. Then I go back in, write down each individual note I've got to play for each track, and then go back and start recording. And so it's, on the whole, that's really good. It works perfectly for me. I mean, something like Hawaii 5-0. Actually, when you listen to it, it doesn't sound like there's that much going on. But if I do trumpets, one brass sound doesn't sound good on its own. So if I'm going to do a trumpet line, sometimes I'll split the trumpets up and have, I'll record one for example, on the 350, you've got your different brass and strings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say I'll record one on brass 8. And then so I don't get nasty interference, I'll pop the vibrato on for the second one.
Uh-huh.
So I'll have a flat one, and then I'll have a vibrato on the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll then, for example, switch to a lower sound but play it higher, because you can hear the difference.
Yeah.
I do anything I can just to try to avoid that same noise interfering with itself.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's putting slow vibrato on one of the tracks or fast vibrato on another, just anything to make the sounds different enough that they don't act nastily with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I generally do the trumpets. You know, if I'm doing violins as well, if you want the string section, a couple don't sound that good. So I try to, often I'll record more tracks than I need to and then take some off.
Okay.
I use, as you know, we always use the drums. I always use a drum machine. So in GarageBand, they've got great drum machines in that. I use the, I can't remember what it's called in there, but I actually program them. I never use the, you know, the live drummers you get in GarageBand.
Oh, yeah.
That's too easy. No. That's way too easy. No, you can't do that. So, yeah, so I always program all my drums. And then everything else will be recorded by me by hand. I mean, some of the, I know, I think it's the trumpet parts in the background to Hawaii 5-0 are really fast. There are some long runs on there. And so it's not unusual for me to spend, you know, potentially a day playing a phrase to try to learn it and get it up to the speed I need to so I can play it. Now, yeah, because I want it to be that if we got a group of people with stylophones together and I gave them the music, they could play it. When it comes to the bass, if it can be played on the beatbox, I'll play it on the beatbox. There's something lovely about that circular keyboard on the beatbox that I love. And I have said to Matt, I need to, especially now the beat's out, I need to do something, write a tune specifically around some circular bass line that I can create.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, I really like the way that works. The only problem is, obviously you've only got one octave on the beatbox. And it's fine for some tunes. I don't mind if it's supposed to be a high G, if I can only play a low G. And then there are others that only having that one octave range, it doesn't sound right. You kind of, some bass lines sound perfectly fine when you've changed highs for lows, and then others you go, that just isn't right. Recently we've done a few tunes that are in G, and I just, you can't tune it low enough to get a bottom G in. And in situations like that, I say, right, we can't do it on there. Let's go for the generate. And either I will play the generate, or if something's a bit more complicated, I'll MIDI it. Because it has that capability, I kind of think to myself, I'm not cheating by MIDIing it. It's not like I'm...
No, yeah, it's a feature of the instrument.
It is a feature. So, yeah. So that is the one, as it's the only MIDIable stylophone. That is... we often MIDI that up, and it's generally used for the bass line. Again, because the melodies and stuff I want to be playing, or Matt wants to be playing, whichever one of us does it. Generally, I will record all the tracks myself and present it to Matt, and then I will give him his part written down, which he then goes off and learns. So... he used to learn them, and then he'll record them himself, and then I put them in. So it is Matt playing.
Wow. Okay.
Recordings.
Really like.
However, yeah.
Okay.
As I like to take things to extreme, when I'm doing a tune, I'm not really sitting there necessarily thinking whether Matt can play it. It's about whether I can play it. And bless Matt, sometimes I come back with lines and they say, what do you think? Can you play that? And he'll look at me with wide eyes and go, do you know, I just don't think I've got a hope. And in situations like that, we've just gone fair dues, because he's only got, we only generally have that 4 week window.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we start a 4 week turnaround and we don't know even what song we're about to record, it can take me a week or so to, if I'm writing one myself, you know, it takes a week or so to get it half decent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to say to Matt, this is the bit I need you to play, which he has to go off and learn and record it. And all that is squeezing the window he's got to complete the video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we really, yeah, we have got to a point where sometimes he looks at me and goes, I don't think there's a hope in hell. We just
do it yourself.
Yeah, we'll keep it as yours, Dave, and then we'll make the video. So often, if you don't see us playing in a video, it could be because Matt just didn't have time, or, you know, to actually learn that part. And at times, we've actually gone, he's going to come, kind of gone, let's just not bother with my a part for me. Let's just, you know, mm-hmm. Dave, you get the music done and I'll do the video. And that's where we always fall back to, you know, on our, when push comes to shove, that's the way we always fall back to. I'm the music man, he's the video man.
In terms of like the process where you're like, you've recorded everything, you're happy with how it's all sounding in terms of like how you played it, all the production, everything. Now you're kind of mixing the track. Is there anything that you like to do to polish it? Anything that you like to add in terms of like effects?
Yeah, I mean, I do add a lot of effects. Mm-hmm. We started off, I mean, it all depends what kind of tune it is and what song it is. If something, you know, we like our old TV tunes, and we like, you know, I've for many years have been really into library music, mm-hmm. Alan Hawkshaw, Keith Mansfield and the likes. And you may hear their tunes, you may not know who's done them, but if you can get hold of an album, I just love that groovy 70, you know, give me a wah guitar any day and I'm away. And so when we're doing that kind of music, which is supposed to be played by, dare I say it, real instruments rather than it's something programmed, then mm-hmm. very much it's just a bit of reverb. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, keep things clean, a little bit of reverb. And I try not to mess around too much with it, because I have found in the past, the more I mess with things, you can almost have it and you're 99% sure that you're happy with it. But there's just one thing you want to try, and that one thing can lead you snowball. And all of a sudden you're going, this doesn't sound like it did.
Uh-huh.
So in a way, the fact that we give ourselves, that we have these time constraints means that I can't keep fiddling with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if something's supposed to be natural, I'm not going to just throw effects at it for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
The early tunes when me and Matt were both playing and we intended on being able to play them live, we would both have a 350 through a guitar pedal each.
Okay.
And we've actually got, you know, I've got, for example, some, I've now programmed loads of pedals in, so I've got specific Doctor Who setting sound that I used in Doctor Who. And, you know, I've got settings, I've got some delay settings there, but they're specifically for songs. So almost every song
mm-hmm.
would have its own setting on my pedal and on Matt's pedal.
That's very cool.
But then, yeah, as we've kind of moved away from that, because I'm kind of getting more complicated on the stylophones and and sometimes it's far easier to write a simple kind of dance tune, or I find it is, you know, come up with something that's a little bit catchy, put a beat behind it and you go, well, can we get away with that? It's times like that when maybe I start using more and more effects. In some of the, I think, oscillator overload, I started using quite a lot of, I think it's called perforator, but it's a gate program. Mm-hmm. So you can get that gated sound. So it's, that's really, I try not to go mad unless it is something that we want to sound mad. I mean, Magic Roundabout, the perfect example. I have a fantastic effect called Slow Machine on my iPad that runs in Cubase.
Okay.
And that will actually take the recording, and you can choose how much slower you want it to play, but then you can also filter out certain frequencies.
Okay.
And so if you hear in the background of the kind of trap version of the Magic Roundabout, you mm-hmm. start hearing what sounds like records slowing down.
Right.
And this is actually, it's not me playing anything. It's uh-huh. still a Magic Roundabout theme, but put through this.
So it's like a bit effect. Of, I don't know, have you heard of Varispeed?
I think I may have heard it, but it is
yeah.
a like.
It's that kind of thing, right? Is it like, it's like also when you put the vinyl on the wrong setting kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can choose whether you want it to be a third speed or a half speed.
Yeah.
You can actually then go in, it's kind of got a scratch setting in it as well,
mm-hmm.
Which will divide it up into 16th notes, for example. And then you can decide whether you want that 16th note on or off, or whether you'd like it to be on, but then slow
a bit
down.
Of swing, yeah.
Yeah, and you can basically start kind of getting, once you've kind of put in whether you want things on or off, or you can even say, right, for that 16th of this melody, we want that to actually be playing at half speed, but everything else is playing at normal speed. And so you go in
oh,
there,
wow.
And you end up getting, from quite a simple sound, you can end up getting wacky effects. So if you listen to the Magic Roundabout, as things mm-hmm. start getting more messed up for the trap version, you start hearing parts of the theme and you'll hear these moves as it slows down in the background.
Yeah.
And that's
okay.
all just this effect going around. So, yeah, there's
that's
a few
so cool.
little things that I like that. But again, when you stick an effect on that does something so specific, you can't keep using it all the while. I've used
yeah.
it in a couple of songs, but you kind of have to go, not all the time. Otherwise, people would just go, oh, they keep using that same effect. Oh, no, it's so good.
oh, but that's so cool.
Yeah, so that's generally the
way
so we
fun.
Do it. And then obviously, if it's something we're going to perform, I can just take my iPad over to Matt's, plug it into his mixing desk. We've got our stylophones there, and literally we just turn off our two parts that we're performing and we're off, you know. So that's generally how I multitrack. And again, using the iPad, going over to Matt's, plugging in, I can record there as well. So
amazing.
It doesn't,
you've already
it doesn't
got your
tie me down. Yeah, it doesn't tie me down. Yeah, it's great. And as I said before, I was never a big iPad fan.
Mm-hmm.
Until I tried one, and then all of a sudden I was like, I know there are things you can do more on a PC music wise mm-hmm. than you can on the iPad, but can you take your PC outside and sit in the garden to mix your music? Can you take it on holiday and sit by a pool and mix music? No, whereas you can with an iPad. And
yeah.
so that was the major thing for me. If it's sunny outside, I don't want to be sitting here. Even though I like my little studio, I don't mm-hmm. really want to be sitting here looking at the beautiful weather outside. So a pair of headphones and your iPad, go out there, mix a tune. We're away. Yeah, so that's very much why I've gone down that road. And as we discussed earlier, there are limitations, but limitations are a good thing because
absolutely.
You find ways around it.
And the stylophone is like a prime example of that.
As
an instrument.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but that's, you know, things like grandstand and stuff. Literally, I can, I think grandstand was a beatbox. Pretty sure I recorded a beatbox on that, but everything else is on the 350. You know, it's just, I think it's a great bit of kit.
Love it.
We've talked about a few of your different videos now. We've talked about Doctor Who. We've talked about the incredible Magic Roundabout video. Can we talk a little bit about Shy Guy? So yes. This is a three-part series that you released in August 2022. Yep. You integrated samples from an educational film from 1947 yeah. as well. This is quite an extensive project. It ventures through different musical styles and is as much sound art as music. Much like the oscillator in the film, the music becomes a tool for tackling social anxiety over the three pieces. Yeah. And the first part is most definitely my favorite, where aspects of social anxiety appear to be most closely addressed.
Yeah.
What inspired you to create this series and make use of the film?
Well, as you know, the three of us, our mental health is very much behind the reason we're doing, you know, we created Punk SG and we're doing it. And so I know we'll come on to talk about Drop the Stylus, but that was the first thing that we did. And we said, we need lyrics about mental health. And we did that and then didn't do anything else with lyrics because I'm not a singer. So I will come up with lyrics and I will write them, but I always have that barrier. You can't sing, Dave. So, you know, don't try. So we wanted some kind of vocals. And so Matt suggested that we searched for something we could use as samples. And obviously the mental health was top of our list. Mm-hmm. And so, to be honest, I didn't really find anything. But a week later, I went round to Matt's and he said, well, I've got this 1947 Shy Guy film, but it's very long and I've been through it and I don't know how much of it is usable. So we sat and we went through it together. Yeah, it was, again, a case of there was so much stuff there that we could use. But I didn't quite know what we wanted to do with it, what direction we wanted to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So after lots of discussion, I obviously left Matt's with this in my mind and I came home and started listening to the little bits. He'd already snipped out some bits that he thought were good.
Mm-hmm.
So I started listening to them and it's my own puerile sense of humour, I think, that drew me to the oscillator.
Yeah.
the oscillator side of it. And so very quickly, I knocked up Oscillator Overload and I went back to Matt and said, look, what do you think of this? And the girl at the end who comes in and starts going on about, you know, come round to my house and we'll have great fun. It just all sounded so cheesy. and I was being slightly rude as well in my head and my tongue was in my cheek when I came up with that. And somehow, I don't know, I just find the whole thing quite amusing. But it obviously isn't using the serious, it's not really doing what we wanted it to do. And so from all of a sudden, let's use some samples from this for a tune. Mm-hmm. We quickly realized that we couldn't fit what we wanted to fit into one tune. All of a sudden it becomes three.
Amazing.
And that is the reason that part two came out first, because
right,
it wasn't part two initially. It was just Oscillator Overload. But okay. Before it came out, we'd already gone, we can't do one, we need more. So that's why that then became part two, but was out first.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, thanks very much, Matthew. So instead of me, sorry, that was my keys. Instead of me writing one tune, I've now got to write three tunes, have I? But we did, and so we decided that the first, that the Oscillator Overload tune sat well in the middle because it does start off with the fact that he is on his own. And actually, you know, his dad says, oh, well, you know, things will fit in. And so we felt it was a bit of a transitional piece between the first part and the third part. So we said the first part therefore needs to be about, that's the part that's tackling the loneliness and the anxiety. The second part, it's kind of the the solution. You know, everyone, you will fit in. And then everybody's different was supposed to be the, let's celebrate the fact that everyone is different.
Mm-hmm.
So don't sit at home thinking you're weird, because we're all weird in our own little way, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it really was a case of too much of a good thing turns one tongue-in-cheek tune into something far better. And musically, for me, I think the first part is by far the best. But I often don't go down the road of doing things that are slow and kind of potentially have some emotional feeling behind it, because in a way, I think sometimes my emotions are so all over the place that I need to be boosting myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do something like that, that all of a sudden you listen to and you think, actually, that's kind of quite serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily bring about the emotions you want it to bring about, but it does what we wanted it to do, you know. So, and then you've got the fun parts in the next couple.
Mm-hmm.
But from a music point of view, yeah, I was really pleased with how that turned out. Really pleased.
It's a really, really beautiful series. It really is.
Thank you. Yeah, that was that is the way we roll. That is very much a case of, you know, once we've done one thing, what are we going to do next? And if that one thing turns into three things, then so be it.
So for anyone listening that's never heard of Punk SG, I would say Drop the Stylus is a great introductory video. I think it really sums you up as a group in terms of your message, why you do it, why it's important to you.
It does.
The music as well.
Yeah, I mean, it does. That's exactly. I had made some notes, and that's exactly, you've just stolen them, because that's exactly what I was going to say. We thought, you know, can we do a tune? At that point, Matt was feeling quite up, so I said to him, obviously, I can't sing it. And at that point, he was feeling quite up for it.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that some kind of, what do you call it, a rap, something kind of more spoken would be far better. And we actually, for that idea, we both said, right, let's go away. Next time we meet up, we both need to have written some lyrics. So we did.
Okay.
I went away and wrote a load. Matt wrote a load. We met, very embarrassingly told each other what we'd come up with. And we just ended up, you know, Matt said, I think we should plump for mine. So we went with my set of lyrics. Literally, you know, the inspiration was, as it says in the tune, what are you going to do when it gets too much? Mm-hmm. We have started playing the stylophones when it all got too much for us. So I just went online and did a Google search of, you know, what people do to relax. And the amount of strange things there are out there that were listed as ways, you know, to relax and to calm down. So honestly, we put them into a big long list, cut the list into little strips to see which pairs would work nicely together, if any of them rhymed.
A bit of cut-up method there.
exactly. yeah, cut out, because was it Bowie that used to...
Yeah, David Bowie, yeah.
Cut up lyrics and just pull them out of a hat or something. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's very much what we did with it. I just had a list and we kind of cut them up and added the odd word here and there. And all I can say is I commend Matt for stepping up and doing the vocals on it. Yeah, even now, if I go back and listen to it, I mean, I've been attempting to brave starting to get some of these things out to stream rather than just being on YouTube. But again, that means I've had to go back and listen to them again, which puts up that barrier. There are things I know I need to sort out, but again, it's put that barrier up. So I need to get over that hurdle so we can start getting things out for people to stream or on a CD.
Mm.
Again, I'll always have the doubt when I'm doing it all myself. I'll always have the doubt as to whether it actually sounds any good or not, whether people are going to like it or not. But I think I just have to get over that, which mm-hmm. is the great thing about the YouTube. I just need to get over it and go, hey, it is what it is. And
I think
yeah,
every
if people
creative,
like it.
Yeah, I mean, every creative kind of grapples with that self-doubt a little bit in terms of, is anyone going to actually care about this when I release it?
Exactly. Does anyone care? And also, is it going to, does it sound vaguely professional, or does it sound like some idiot in his bedroom? You know, that's the...
I think, like, we spent, like, so many hours with it, like, kind of lose that objectivity, right?
Yes.
And sometimes it's great, like, when it's finally out there and you get the feedback and it's positive, and then you're like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's passed.
Yeah, that's it. And so when I'm, yeah, you get the good feedback, and now I'm...
And you get great feedback on your videos. You get some lovely comments.
We have had lovely comments, and I do read them. I'm not great at answering them. Again, it's so much not my bag doing the social media thing. But I do, and anything that Matt thinks I need to answer, I will always go and answer. But yeah, it's a scary thing putting stuff out there and then allowing people to comment on it and see there. But everyone's been so nice, and it's what's helped us keep going. If we didn't get the good comments, you know, we wouldn't have carried on going. So
it's so crucial as well for you know, when you share something, you want to have some nice feedback about it, you know. You want that affirmation that you're doing something good for the world,
you're doing
something that is, you know, positive, and other people get something from it as well, you know.
Yeah, because my own brain won't ever give me that positivity. My own brain is constantly just saying, no, it's rubbish, you're rubbish, what are you bothering, go and crawl into a corner and die somewhere. You know, when your head's like that, and so for other people to say this is all right, I go, oh, you know, that's not too bad. Maybe we should be pursuing this and trying to do this and not let my own mind scupper us, which I think often it does. I think your own mind can be one's own worst enemy. Mine definitely is. But as far as Drop the Stylus goes, that was great. I mean, I mentioned my mother earlier. She believes in us, you know, no matter how old you get, if your mum is still with you, then they're always going to help you out. And it's her belief as well that's helped me and Matt, you know, carry on doing this.
That's really lovely.
It is. She's a drives us mad at times, but she's wonderful. And what can you do? Yeah, and she always loved Drop the Stylus. That's her favourite tune.
One of my favourites.
Yeah, and I must admit now, you know, when I was going back through things thinking, should I be getting this sorted out for release on CD? Actually, Drop the Stylus is one of the ones that I listen to and go, do you know what? I don't feel I need to do anything to it. It just sounds good. One thing I do always do that I didn't mention earlier when we were talking about the recording is I do always attempt to master my recordings. I don't know whether it's something you do or on your YouTube channel or whatever. But, you know, I have friends that dabble in music and I say, oh, well, I mastered this. And they look at you and say, well, does that make any difference? And I say, it makes such a difference. It's kind of it's the beeswax on the table you've just made, isn't it? You know, it's the little polish that can, really pull things forward. And it somehow by mastering, it congeals everything into one sound. And so I would always say to anyone, if you're going to put any muse out, master it.
More recently, you shared a tune called Stylophonic Shears. Absolutely love that title. And that's on your YouTube channel. It's beautifully showcasing one of your greatest strengths as musicians, which is coming up with funky original melodies and performing them mostly on the Stylophone 350S.
Yeah.
And I have to say, they often have kind of like a 60s vibe to them as well, which is so
they
cool.
do.
Where did this particular idea come from?
It's kind of quite hard to know where ideas come from, because most of the time I'm just thinking about whatever that idea is that we're next trying to do. And it seems to fill my mind. But occasionally, I think it's almost through conversations with Matt, that you'll be having a chat and a bit of a laugh. And you say something and you think, do you know what? That sounds like a good name for a tune, doesn't it? but I think Stylophonic Shiz really comes from my own self-doubt and going, you know, is this any good? What is it? What are we doing? You know, is it groovy? Is it funky? We've obviously done dance stuff in there. Is it any good? Is it actually a load of rubbish? Well, we don't know, but what we do know is that it's polyphonic vomit full of stylophonic shiz. you know, it's kind of self-deprecating, but that really is where it came from. Some of the lyrics were changed to not sound... because the goodness and the badness thing comes from the fact that obviously bad can mean good these days, can't it? So... you know, is it stylophonic goodness or stylophonic badness? And originally I had stylophonic genius or stylophonic madness, because those two things are the opposite and yet can kind of mean the same thing. But Matt thought it sounded a bit big-headed if you said have genius in a song. So we changed it. yeah, so we did take that one out. And so, yeah, in a way, for a while, I was trying to find those words that were opposites but could also mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of idea then fell a bit by the wayside, that I just couldn't find enough things to fit in. but that is very much where it comes from. It's, you know, if people say, what do you do? And I say, well, I make stylophone music. It doesn't tell you a lot, does it? You know, it doesn't tell you what style of music it is or this or that. So, yeah, again, it was just, well, whatever people think of it, just stylophonic shiz.
That's one of these things about when I do all these episodes and I record with people. All of you are doing something completely original, completely new, and contributing to potentially, like, what someone will come back in the future and say, this was an entire... subgenre of music that happened,
where
people
be great, wouldn't it?
Made multi-tracked stylophones and made like the most incredible, most purpose-built sort of music for those instruments.
Yeah. I mean,
that's that kind of music.
it happened in that time. it is that kind of music. I mean, the 60s and 70s vibe again goes very much back to my love of library music, you know, all that great, you know, Grandstand and the Wimbledon theme and all those kind of things are just fantastic. And they're all kind of 70s. They were all recorded in the 70s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have that sound, Hammond organs, guitars, trumpets, kind of somewhere between a rock band and a big band. And so that is the music that I really love.
I can see why you kind of gravitated to the 350S then.
Absolutely.
It has kind of that inner package.
It does.
It's
of the time. It's, you know, it is of the time. It has all those sounds on. And so, yeah, definitely it was the thing that... I think I'd actually recorded Grandstand quite a while before we released it. And I think that was one of those tunes that I came back going, I can't believe I've recorded this on a stylophone, because you don't listen to it and go, this sounds like it's been done on a stylophone. It just sounds like Grandstand, you know, hey. Yeah, and that was the thing that completely kind of blew my mind, really, was how unstylophony we can create music using only stylophones, you know. Mm-hmm. And so,
pushing
yeah.
it to its limits.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. And again, you know, I love the fact that I've got the photo control. So in videos, you'll never see me using in videos because I'm not allowed to put my hand into shot. but when I'm recording, I always use it because it just gives that, you know.
It's like a theremin, isn't it?
It gives the... It just makes things interesting, and yeah, it gives it emotion's not the right word, but
no, yeah, definitely, like expression.
Yeah.
And
that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, expression. Yeah, and so again, this, you know, as we said, stylophonics is really is quite self-deprecating, and it's me trying to work out what I'm doing. I do actually do the vocals on that. That's the first time ever that I've done any vocals. Obviously, it's not singing. It's very much spoken. And that really comes from my love of Frank Zappa. Don't know whether you're aware of Frank Zappa's music, but, you know, he's one of these musicians that, I think I heard him say once that he basically strangles his guitar. He doesn't feel he really knows, you know, so he'd get Steve Vai in, who is fantastic guitarist. He'd get him in to play all the real technical stuff. But so even someone as great as Frank Zappa had his doubts.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few of his... if someone else isn't singing on it, often he talks over a lot of his music, and he's got a really fantastic voice. And so this was very much a case of me trying to do a vague British impersonation of a kind of Frank Zappa.
Right.
Low, deep voice. Cause I thought that's the only way I'm ever going to get away with recording my voice onto a tune.
It's wonderfully. I love it.
So you know, it does mean that if I do more that I'm going to vocalize, they probably all will be spoken.
So maybe that's going to be like your signature thing.
That'll be I mean, that's it. Make the music in the background is the funk and the groove and what's grooving you along, and the lyrics are there. You have to, you know, it sounds right with a kind of slightly deep voice over it. So that was actually quite nice because it was again another big step for me to dare put my voice on anything, and I think that's another joy of working with Matt, is the fact that we have these discussions, we decide what we're going to do, he'll throw ideas at me and I throw them back, and I throw ideas at him and he throws them back. And he's always excited to hear how the finished tune is going to sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he often hears when I've done two bars and going, look, this is a little idea. What do you think? And but he always loves hearing that finished version of it. And the same with me with the videos. I know I have a lot of input into it, but I don't have to sit there and do the editing and spend those hours on it. And so when he plays me the final one, it's always a joy, you know. I get a kick out of watching it because I get to see what he's been doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't sit there going, oh, look at us, aren't we great? I sit there going, you know, well done, Matt. You've come up with a corker. I mean, I loved
that's a lovely thing. Yeah.
Yeah, Surface Tension was a recent thing. I was astounded at this video because we'd said we'll do it a simple video for that.
Mm-hmm.
But just the way he managed to tie all the footage into the underwater, you know, to being underwater and breaking the surface and stuff, I just thought was brilliant. And, you know, I hold my hat out to him.
No, but it's great that you can have that collective experience as well,
where
you can honour each other's work and
Yeah, it is.
Tap
It
each other
is.
on the back and
It is. Yeah, we do. We do that, you know, cheesy, but we do the high fives when we get something. You know, when we've done something, high five. Yes, we've finished that. Excellent. Right. Now what have we got to do?
What's next?
Yeah.
I feel like drop the stylus, stylophonic shears, surface tension, shy
That
guy,
sounds
all of
awesome.
these, I feel like even if they're not intended to be, they feel like they could belong to a larger body of work that sort of tops and tails. Like drop the stylus could be like the first song, stylophonic shears could be like the ending number, and then you've got all
That's,
these journeys in the middle.
yeah, I mean, that is very much what I'm thinking about for the for getting a CD or something done. You know, trying to put them in the right order. I mean, again, Matt turned around to me because we have this kind of a bit of a split between kind of dancey music. Well, I like to think all of it's dancey music, but more what sounds like electronic dance music and then our kind of groovy side. And yeah, I mean, Matt said at one point, do you think we should actually wait until we've got enough tunes that we can put out one dancey CD and one kind of more retro CD? So all the time that I'm panicking, not getting them out there, we're just building up more and more tracks. So you never know. By the time I do, it may get split up into.
Amazing.
No, and yeah, that's why I was mentioning Matt, the fact that he always comes back to me and says, Dave, it's not just the fact that you seem to be knocking up tunes, but each one of them to me sounds like a number one. You know, he's gonna, he thinks they're all, they all, which is a bit like you say, they all have their own kind of little life, you know. Yeah. And you, yeah, very much you need to be careful, or I will definitely take care if they end up on CD, what order things go in, because you want it to be that journey, don't you? You know, from one to another.
Absolutely. And if it ever comes to be, I will most certainly appreciate it. I'm sure anyone who's a fan of Punk SG will very much appreciate it. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, hopefully I will. If you know, to be honest, that's the motivation I need. If you know, just you, if there's one person out there who I don't know, like I know Matt, who says I enjoy what you do, that is a massive kick. You know, that is brilliant. It means that we're doing something right somewhere along the lines, doesn't it?
Now, in the last few months or so, you've ventured out into the world of merchandise, which is wonderful.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about what's going on there?
Well, again, you know, the big idea, as they say, was to attempt to raise awareness of mental health and raise money for it. You know, the actual way of making any money out of it, to be honest, I have no clue whatsoever. I mean, we know that for YouTube, you've got to have certain amount of subscribers and certain amount of hours of footage, which is fine if you just want to watch me sit around scratching my head wondering how to come up with the next tune 24 hours a day. But when you're just making 2.5, 3 minute tunes, it's going to take us a long time to get up to the however many hours worth of footage we need. So the t-shirts is really our first way of attempting to monetize it. We went down the road of T-Mill, which I know you've used before, because it doesn't involve us having to put up any money first. And so that's the way we went. Again, I started trying to do designs for it. I love, again, anything creative. So I love art and things like that. I don't do it that much, but I love it. And so it was a case of, well, if we've won a t-shirt shop, we've got to have something to put on the t-shirts, haven't we? And so unless we just want writing, one of us has got to get drawing and come up with some designs. So that's basically what I did. I,
That's amazing.
again, I use my iPad, draw on the iPad, take it and show Matt. If he likes it, then we'll move on from there. if he doesn't, he'll tell me why, and then I juggle around with things, again, until we're both happy.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so that is, you know, that is our only source of income from doing this. And so if anyone does enjoy our music and wants to help support us, please find us on T-Mill, punksg at T-Mill, I think it is. And please buy a T-shirt. As I say, Smokey's PC is sadly grinding to a slow halt. We have no way of replacing it. If that dies, we have no way of making any videos anymore. So, yeah, if you'd like to support us, anyone out there, go and buy some T-shirts, and, you know, hopefully we can keep going till we can afford to get Smokey a new PC.
And you have so many different designs for people to choose from as well, the T-shirts. So,
well, we thought we had to have. In a way, you think, should we be coming up with a couple of designs and say, this is us? If you want to buy a T-shirt, you've got to have these two designs. Or do we go, because we're not having to put any money up, the more puns on stylophones or styluses that we can come up with, the better off we are. So yeah, that's really why there are so many, because we just panic again that no one's going to like what we've put up there. So if we put up lots of different designs, you know, safety in numbers, if you know, it's more likely for someone to like one of them.
Absolutely.
Go and support P&K. So that is the reason for it. Yeah, yeah, please support
Go
us.
Go support P&K.
We're t-shirts. Desperate. I've tried so hard not to sound desperate through this interview, but we really are.
It's time for a game of Stylophone Stylus Zone, our new game for this series. Dave will have up to a minute to come up with a funky beat on the beat and or a stylophone melody. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go! Fluff, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I'd love to ask, I may, what is kind of lurking behind the scenes? What's next for you as a group? Anything exciting planned, any videos or any other projects we can look forward to?
You can carry on looking forward to the videos. We will continue to try to get those out every 4 weeks. We're currently working on our Halloween video. Yeah, so our little cuddly Michael and Jason come out as they always do at Halloween.
Is that the name of the puppets?
Yes. Are you aware of Michael and Jason?
I didn't know that was their names. I am aware of the puppets.
Michael Myers from Halloween and Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th.
Okay. Oh,
and they are little, I think it's the same people that make the pop vinyl figures.
Made
them in plushy form. actually, for our latest video, we decided we may need a second Michael Myers to be our stunt double.
Oh.
But we had a look, and they're rare now.
Oh no.
And we realized it was so expensive to replace him that we just need to take care of the stars rather than getting him a stunt double. So that's what we're working on at the moment. We are doing The Exorcist. So it's, cassocks and projectile vomit ahoy, spinning heads. And we're making the whole thing PG friendly, which has been a task in itself, but I think we're just about there. We know what we're going to do at Christmas. I think I will let you in on a secret that we're going to attempt a 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, that's melody. So cool.
So we will start off with one Very S1 and then potentially two of a different version of S1s and then three, you know, S2s, four Gen-R8s until we have a cacophony. Now, Matt's collection isn't quite that large. I don't think he's got 12 Gen-R8s. So don't tell anyone.
Maybe he will by the time of...
Don't tell anyone, but I may have to multi-track just one. But you will hear 12.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the idea that we had for Christmas this time. Let's do it 12 Days of Christmas, but each day a
what
different
a great
sort
idea.
Of stylophone. Yeah. So that'll be a corker. And also, hopefully, I mean, it may not be before Christmas, but hopefully I will get some of this music out there for people to stream and hopefully a CD that people can buy from us. There's one person who I haven't mentioned too much during this, and that's Laszlo.
Mm-hmm.
He is always going to be a part of what we do. But Northampton and Kettering are only a stone's throw from each other. Paul, however, is a long drive away. And so it'll be lovely to somehow integrate him more into what we're doing. He looks after the website. We do have a website, so go and check that out. Laszlo does all of that for us and links our YouTube to it. And he used to do the voiceovers. I know on some of the old videos, there is an announcer at the beginning.
Okay.
And so he was doing those for us. But as me and Matt have got more ambitious with what we're trying to do, it's harder for me then to think of something else for someone to do. So it's not, you know, it's because I haven't really been able to provide him with anything to say because I've been so busy myself. So that would be great to get him more involved in it. But otherwise, all I can really say is it's onwards and upwards and mental health, you know, willing. You know, we'll carry on and hopefully get bigger and better. And please do tell all your friends about it. because again, you know, the more people we can see that have subscribed to the channel just gives us a boost. I think Gremlins has been our biggest.
Oh, yeah. That's a really cool one.
That's, you know, the future is very much, and we may end up branching out from the Stylophonic Gift Shop and attempting to do some of the other ideas we had.
Okay.
You know, anything we can think that we can put under the SG banner. Right. We were thinking of having a Serious Gripes channel and getting one of our, you may have seen the odd character, such as Everton, who is a black and white tiger crop up in our videos, and an Arctic fox and a white rabbit have popped up. And Everton Mince is a really grumpy tiger. And we were going to have a little chat, you know, a little channel for him to moan about modern life. So that may come off. So that had come under Serious Gripes.
Amazing.
You know, the way I see it and what I always say to Matt is, look, we're doing something at the moment that we're actually, we're managing to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was nearly said we're successful at. I wouldn't go that far. I'd say we're managing to do it. you know, and let's not destroy this by trying to do too much other stuff. you know, for me and Matt, this is very much Punk SG is the Stylophonic gift shop at the moment and will always be.
That's
so whether anything else happens, I don't know. But
well, whether or not it does, you have left us with an incredible body of work so far. And we
Thank
have
you.
So much to look forward to as well. And I very much look forward to seeing what else comes next.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Mary.
To see more of the wonderful Punk SG, head to pnksg.co.uk, find their merch at pnksg.tmail.com, and find them at pnksg on YouTube and at pnksg_smokey on Instagram. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world if you could give the podcast a 5-star rating and share the episode on social media, tagging me at Mari Dangerfield and the podcast at Sound of Stylus. You can find us on Instagram at Sound of Stylus and on YouTube by searching Sound of Stylus.